Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
In our epistle lesson, St. Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, gives some pretty firm words here. He says, "We command you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which he received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we were not disorderly among you." God is a God of order. We see this in the orders of creation. God makes the light. God makes the substance of the earth and the universe. God separates the day from the night, evening and morning, creation of a day. God puts the light into specific places, the sun, the moon, and the stars also. God creates the dry land. God creates the sea creatures, the birds of the heavens. God creates the land animals. And most especially, he creates man. God made him male and female. Male being created first. We see the orders of creation. God is a God of order. Our worship follows this. In the German, Gottesdienst, the divine service or God's service, shows that in our worship we gather not in a disordered way, but in an orderly way. There is a time of preparation, either by private confession or by the corporate confession, or why not both? There is a time to be hearing God's word, to have that word preached, to have the law against us, cutting down the old Adam, but the gospel telling us of what Jesus Christ has done for us. We are reminded of the beauty of the sacraments, of these means of grace that our Lord bestows on us, that in his order, he secures for us by his son's death on the cross at his specific time. All history led up to that moment. And he distributes that grace through the word attached to water, through the word attached to bread and wine, through the word proclaimed by your pastor, "I forgive you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." The service of the sacrament follows in order as well. We have prayer. We have supplications. We pray the most important prayer ever given, the prayer that our Father would hear our prayers, not because of who we are, but because of who Jesus is. He is the one who has given us this prayer. And then we hear his words, the words of Jesus himself, on the night in which he was betrayed, proclaimed over bread and wine, so that what we receive is not plain bread and wine, but is also the body and blood of Jesus for the remission of sins. At the conclusion of this, we return in prayer and we sing out God's gracious mercy, that we may now depart, that we may now die, leaving this world at peace with him. This is an orderly fashion because God is a God of order. The rich traditions handed down from the apostles as they devoted themselves to those things. "Nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but worked with labor and toil night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you." God would have a man work for his daily bread. He would have the man work to provide for himself, to provide for his wife, to provide for his children. This is God's good and gracious order. If a man who is able-bodied refuses to work, St. Paul is very clear. If he refuses to work, neither shall he eat. Maybe that should be on some billboards in various cities and places throughout our country. Yes, we are cognizant. Yes, we have grace for those who are disabled, for those who at least for a time cannot work. Yes, the church, as God has ordained, provides for the widow, provides for the fatherless, provides also for the sojourner on his way back home. God provides through the church. But if any is able-bodied, able-minded, and refuses to work, neither shall he eat. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Now those who are such we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good in Christ Jesus our Lord. You will find that when you prioritize everything according to God's holy will, that he gives you everything that you need. He gives you enough money to pay the bills. He gives you also enough care that if someone is truly in need, you can provide some sort of assistance. It's a beautiful thing when we rely not on our own pocketbooks, but we instead rely on God and his provision. It is important that we do not focus only on those things that divide, that are divisive, but rather that we are to put away the brother who walks in disorder, not according to the traditions handed down through the scriptures. It is important that the traditional church, the biblical church, practice closed communion, that they recognize that we gather around the rail not as a me and Jesus moment, but as a communal moment, that we confess what is confessed by this altar, confessed by this pulpit, confessed in the very word of God. We see this also in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Where we differ, we need to look to the scriptures. And if what I believe is different than what the Bible teaches, it's not the Bible that needs to change. It's my own sinful desires and flesh. So when we have whole church bodies that declare that Jesus isn't the only way to heaven, when we have whole church bodies that declare that there are Bible passages that are harmful, when we have whole church bodies that declare things that God's word has condemned to be all right, we are to mark and avoid. We are not in fellowship, real or make-believe. But we are to come alongside of them, to encourage them, to point them to the scriptures. We believe what we believe, not because I decided it to be so, not because my predecessor or his predecessor or his predecessor decided so. We follow not the man in the office of the ministry. We follow the one who has given us his word. This teaches us how we are to live in fellowship with one another and in fellowship with those outside of the church. We follow table fellowship, altar fellowship, pulpit fellowship, and perhaps maybe we could consider prayer fellowship as well. But we do these things not because we believe that we are better than others. We do it because God's word has declared it so. So take heart, dear child of God. Our Lord ultimately will conquer all of these divisions. On that last day, all of the divisions of liturgy, all of the divisions of lack of liturgy, all of those divisions of doctrine and theology will pass away. On that day, the day of resurrection, those who confessed the truth that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven and salvation, that confessed with their lips, with their hearts, with their minds, with their souls, that Jesus Christ is Lord in their life, will be received into the eternal banquet. And blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. The church sings. And we believe thy word, though dim our faith may be. Whatever for thine we do, O Lord, we do it unto thee. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.